Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, July the 31st, amid continuing violations of international law and deaths from starvation in Gaza, the Holy See expresses unwavering support for a two-state solution for Israel and Palestine. Young pilgrims of hope in Rome for their jubilee bring the voices of faraway lands and different perspectives. But first, Pope Leo XIV paves the way for St. John Henry Newman to be formally declared a Doctor of the Church. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Leo XIV has paved the way for St. John Henry Newman to be formally declared a Doctor of the Church. When the title is formally conferred in the near future, Newman will become the first Englishman and first native English speaker granted one of the highest honours in the Church. Christopher Wells reports.
One of the great modern thinkers of Christianity, John Henry Newman was a key figure in a spiritual and human journey that left a profound mark on the church of the 19th century and that continues to this day. His numerous writings, apologetic tracts, sermons, and major works of theology and philosophy, and a life spent with energy and passion for the proclamation of the gospel, led to his canonization by Pope Francis in 2019. And soon, St. John Henry Newman will be recognized as the newest Doctor of the Church. The news came on Thursday in a statement from the Holy See Press Office, which reported that during an audience granted to Cardinal Marcello Semeraro, the prefect of the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints, Pope Leo XIV had confirmed the affirmative opinion of the members of the Dicastery regarding the title of Doctor of the Universal Church, which will soon be conferred on St. John Henry Newman. The formal declaration by the Church will make Newman the 38th Doctor of the Universal Church. St. John Henry Newman was proposed for the honor almost from the time of his death, and calls increased following his beatification in 2010 and his subsequent canonization in 2019. In the Mass for Newman's beatification in England in 2010, Pope Benedict said, "It is right and fitting that we should recognize the holiness of a confessor, a son of this nation, who, while not called to shed his blood for the Lord, nevertheless bore eloquent witness to him in the course of a long life devoted to the priestly ministry, and especially to preaching, teaching, and writing." I'm Christopher Wells.
In the last 24 hours, at least 91 Palestinians have been killed and more than 600 wounded while attempting to access humanitarian aid in Gaza. And as Joseph Tulloch reports, the United States has announced new sanctions against members of the Palestine Liberation Organization, the internationally recognized representative of the Palestinian people.
According to the Gaza Health Ministry, at least 91 Palestinians have been killed and more than 600 wounded while attempting to access aid in the past 24 hours. The ministry specified that includes 54 people who were killed while awaiting food in northern Gaza on Wednesday. The toll is expected to rise further as many of those killed or wounded were brought to isolated, smaller hospitals in northern Gaza and have not yet been counted. Trump's special envoy Steve Witkoff arrived in Israel on Thursday afternoon. He is expected to speak with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about the humanitarian situation in Gaza and a possible ceasefire, according to the Associated Press. This is the first meeting between Witkoff and Netanyahu since both Israel and the US called their negotiation teams home from Qatar 1 week ago. Any ceasefire deal will be expected to contain provision for the release of some Israeli hostages. Hamas still holds 50 hostages, including around 20 believed to be alive. Under heavy international pressure, Israel announced a series of measures over the weekend to facilitate the entry of more international aid into Gaza. But aid workers say much more is needed. Israel has said that 270 trucks of aid entered Gaza on Wednesday and 32 pallets of aid were airdropped into the strip. That amount is far lower than the 500 to 600 trucks per day that aid organizations say are needed. In a separate development, Palestinian officials linked to the Palestine Authority and the Palestine Liberation Organization will no longer be able to travel to the US after their visas were revoked on Thursday, marking a further deterioration of their relations with the United States. The Palestine Liberation Organization is the internationally recognized representative of the Palestinian people, and it oversees the Western-backed Palestinian Authority. Together, the two organizations are seen as key to any future peace settlement. I'm Joseph Tullock.
And as Joseph was reporting there, UN agencies continue to draw attention to the catastrophic conditions in Gaza, where famine and widespread starvation due to conflict, displacement and the near total collapse of essential services is increasing. Ricardo Pires, communication manager with the UN's Children's Fund, UNICEF, has just visited the enclave. He tells UN News that the situation is beyond belief.
We managed to go to the south, very close to the GHF, to the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation distribution site, and we visited a field hospital run by the ICRC, and it was staggering to hear and see what's happening there. The amount of mass casualty events is increasing day in, day out, including with a lot of children being injured and killed while desperately trying to get food and aid, while of course, being suffering of malnutrition and hunger. It's an absolutely apocalyptical situation. It's hard to believe what your eyes actually show you, and yet there it is. The humanitarian pauses are very welcome in terms of a next step to prevent more chaos to spread around the Gaza Strip. But again, it's a trickle of what's needed. From what we've seen since these pauses were announced, yes, more trucks are getting through. UNICEF managed to get a few, including with nutrition supplies, hygiene kits. But when they get to the other side, the desperate population make it very difficult for us to actually distribute these commodities, these supplies. And that, by the way, applies to commercial trucks as well.
And that was Ricardo Pires, communication manager with UNICEF, speaking there to UN News. A three-day high-level international conference this week at UN headquarters in New York focused on the peaceful settlement of the question of Palestine and the implementation of the two-state solution. Joining the other member states was also the Holy See, represented by permanent observer Archbishop Gabriele Caccia. He condemned the terrorist attack of the 7th of October, but also the deteriorating humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip. As Kelsey Gussie reports, he explained to the assembly that the two-state solution, based on secure and internationally recognized borders, is the only viable and equitable path toward a just and lasting peace.
In his message to the UN High-Level International Conference, Archbishop Caccia stressed that in the light of the profound anguish and terrible human suffering that has befallen the region of the Middle East, the Holy See unequivocally condemned the terrorist attack of October 7, 2023 by Hamas. He continued that terrorism can never be justified. The Archbishop also emphasized that self-defense must be contained within the traditional limits of necessity and proportionality. The Holy See remains very concerned about the deteriorating humanitarian crisis taking place in the Gaza Strip. He highlighted the atrocities that continue to wound an already distressed community, scores of children killed, and homes, hospitals, and places of worship destroyed. The Holy See has urgently called for an immediate ceasefire, the release of all Israeli hostages, the restitution of the bodies of the deceased, the protection of all Palestinian civilians in accordance with international humanitarian law, and unhindered access to humanitarian assistance. Archbishop Caccia expressed the Holy See's firm belief that the two-state solution, based on secure and internationally recognized borders, is the only viable and equitable path towards a just and lasting peace. The Holy See remains committed to the inalienable rights of the Palestinian people, and it backs their legitimate aspirations to live in freedom, security, and dignity within an independent and sovereign state. Jerusalem is a city sacred to Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And in his message, Archbishop Caccia continued to stress that it needs a status that rises above political divisions and preserves this unique identity. To this end, the Archbishop pointed out that the Holy See reaffirmed its long-standing call for a special status recognized internationally, which protects the rights and dignity of all residents and believers of the three religions, that it safeguards the city's exceptional religious and cultural heritage, and that it must also protect the holy places and allow unrestricted access to them and the ability to worship there. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
And this evening, as part of the Jubilee of Youth taking place here in the Vatican and throughout the city of Rome, thousands of young people from across Italy will gather in St. Peter's Square to pray for peace. A particular focus will be an end to the conflict in the Holy Land. Cardinal Pier Battista Pizzaballa, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, is scheduled to deliver a video message urging the youth to become true peacemakers. The event, entitled You Are Peter, will feature music, testimonies and reflections on the role of faith in reconciliation and peace processes. You can follow the event on all of our media. And as mentioned, the Jubilee of the Youth is ongoing here in Rome, and about 1 million young people from all over the world are here to participate. Events are taking place throughout the city and culminate over the weekend with a vigil on Saturday that foresees the participation of Pope Leo XIV and Mass in St. Peter's Basilica on Sunday. Among those who have travelled the furthest is Frankie Cazil from Guam. He's a volunteer for the Office of Youth and Young Adults in the Archdiocese of Agaña in Guam. He's here for the first time in his life and told Vatican Radio he's open to whatever the Holy Spirit and God send his way.
I'm still in awe that the Archdiocese has asked me to go and represent the Archdiocese of Agaña, and even for this interview. Right now, I'm open to whatever the Holy Spirit and God sends my way, really. I can't wait to experience the Universal Church with a bunch of youth and young adults, because we're such a small island. There's only 100,000 people. So compared to gathering in Rome, it's really going to be a real eye-opener for me for our faith. I was able to attend World Youth Day in 2011 in Madrid with the late Pope Benedict XVI. It still feels like yesterday. I was in the airport. The rain was pouring. It was cold. I didn't sleep good. I feel like in ways I shouldn't be there, but through the grace of God, he made me get there. And seeing the Pope from a good distance and witnessing all the youth in the field, in the rain, in silence while the Blessed Sacrament was exposed, gave me the zeal to come back to my island and to help in any way that the Archdiocese or my parish as well need. From 2011 to now, that's a good 12 years, 13 years. So I think I need a faith lift. It's been very long since I've been on a spiritual retreat or a spiritual journey. And all those years, I think the Lord knew I needed time to get a recharge or a faith lift. I think it's important just bringing the message of hope, especially to the island of Guam, to our archdiocese, that message of hope, and keep moving forward and journeying together.
And that was Frankie Cazil from Guam speaking there to Isabella de Carvalho. And that's all from this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us tomorrow at the same time for more. Meanwhile, you can follow us on our website at vaticannews.va and also on Facebook, X and Instagram. My thanks go to Patrizio Ciprari in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.